Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Kind of panicked when Mark started teaching this morning. I thought he was going to cover everything I was, but he kind of veered off there and went in a little different direction. It is kind of a starting point is the same, and I want to talk to you today about followers and being a follower. The Bible says a lot about following, and there's some things that we should follow. There's some things we should not follow. And as Mark pointed out this morning, most of the religious world, the majority of the religious world, puts a lot of emphasis on following Jesus. That phrase, following Jesus. And there's a lot of people talk about it, but nobody really does it in the extent of doing it biblically. And that's not to say that the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ are to be diminished in any way. As Mark pointed out several times, Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, the first part of it, obviously, was to the nation Israel. He even sent the disciples and said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles." And he read the verses over there in Matthew 15, all those verses about Christ's ministry being centered on the nation Israel. Now, that ministry obviously is recorded in our Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And most people go back to the Sermon on the Mount and read that, and there are many principles taught in the Sermon on the Mount that we can make application to. But he's teaching Israel. And in Matthew chapter 4, I just wanted to start here. In Matthew 4, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for there were fishers. And he said unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Now notice, "And straightway left their nets and followed him." Now, you know, we hear a lot today about making commitments. Well, I want to submit to you that these people, they made a commitment. They heard the words of Jesus Christ. They quit what they were doing. And the Bible said, straightway they left their nets and followed him. And if you want to read between the lines, there's a lot there to read. Because here are some men that obviously believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah that was to come. Otherwise, they would never have left their nets. Peter said in Matthew chapter 19, oh, by the way, before I mention that, it's interesting that Christ asked the disciples in Matthew 16, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Mark was talking about the phases of Christ's ministry. Very interesting study. But in Matthew 16, something happens. Because he asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're a prophet." I'll tell you what, let's just turn over there. No sense in trying to quote all this with my feeble mind. In Matthew 16... Now, in Matthew 10, as Mark pointed out, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What would that have included? Well, if there's a kingdom, it stands to reason there has to be what? A king. they acknowledged that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. In that, the 12, when he said, "Come and follow me," straightway they left their nets and followed him. They believed what he was saying. Now, in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath revealed it unto thee, but my Father..." I'm sorry, "flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples, they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." I'd say we have a great turning point in this chapter. They're out there preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but now they're told they can't tell anybody that Jesus is the Christ. And so over in Matthew chapter 19, Peter comes to Christ and he asks him a question. Verse 27, Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, and what shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So Christ is assuring them that their following him was not in vain. And what is revealed as we move on through the scriptures, particularly as we get in the book of Acts, is that ministry of them sitting upon those thrones is going to be delayed. Nevertheless, they forsook all and followed him. Now, when we talk about following Jesus, as I said, most people talk about following his earthly teachings and his earthly ministry. Several years ago, you know, the slogan, "What Would Jesus Do?" became very popular. And there's these bumper stickers that you see about Jesus Christ being the Jewish carpenter and that kind of thing. Well, as we studied last Sunday night, the Apostle Paul said, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh." Should we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Absolutely. Should we know the things that are written down there? Yes, we should. But there is not doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's for Israel. And what I find interesting is that there are many verses, many statements that Christ makes, many teachings of Christ that people, you know, will grab onto and hold on to, but others they'll completely ignore. And in my mind, you can't have it both ways. It either is to us or it's not to us. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, in verse 27, the Bible says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart." What's the remedy? "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body should be cast into hell." Well, I don't know anybody today. Well, I can't say I don't know anybody. I did read of one individual back in the early 80s. I was reviewing medical records for Blue Cross, and we'd go in the hospital and do that. And there was a man, and I realized it's a little gory, so just kind of turn away if you don't want to. There was a man who went to a Pentecostal service, and the preacher preached on this passage right here and convinced people that if they didn't do what was said here, they had committed adultery in their heart, they ought to obey the passage. And this man got in his car, left that building, and on Brainerd Road, it was all in the medical record, took a pocket knife and gouged out one of his eyes. Some people saw him parked at a light there, saw he was bleeding, distressed, called an ambulance, and they were able to save him, but not his eye. You see, it's a dangerous thing to misplace doctrine. And by the way, Jesus is pointing out here that life in the kingdom is going to be more strict than it was even when he was upon earth. That's why he makes the statement. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, that is the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then you've got other statements. Look over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says in verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, we know in the dispensation of the grace of God, we're already forgiven all trespasses, and it was not dependent upon us forgiving somebody else. Thank God for grace. Because whether you have a grudge or not has nothing to do with your salvation. There might be somebody in your life that you've just not been able to forgive. But you can rest in the fact that regardless of that, if you've trusted Jesus Christ and know that He died for your sins and buried and rose again the third day, you are saved and all of your sins are forgiven. That's a wonderful truth. Not so in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. Well, all these people that proclaim and following Jesus, ask them if they have a bank account, a 401k, a savings account. They don't follow that. Most everybody lays up treasures upon earth. As a matter of fact, Paul said that the parents ought to lay up for the children. And the reason he said that is later on he said that the children are to requite the parents. And there's a whole study within that. Look in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I bet some in here have already given some thought about what you're going to eat after church. I have. I've been trying to do a diet, and that's all I think about is what I'm going to eat. And what I can't eat. And what I should eat. 4 weeks into it, and not doing so well, but I do take thought for my life. What I'm going to eat. And what I'm going to drink. And what I'm going to put on. Some days I look like I didn't take any thought about what I put on, but I still put it on. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We passed a church the other day, and Mary was reading the sign there. She said, did you see what that sign said? Now, if I'd said yes, I'd been in trouble, because she said, you should have been watching the road. I said, no. She said it said something about experiencing the favor of God. Well, people that believe that they can claim verse 7. That verse was never made to the church, the body of Christ. Paul three times prayed for something and didn't get it. What am I saying? All I'm doing, folks, is demonstrating unto you that people today that say they're following Christ according to His fleshly, earthly ministry are not doing so. They might be doing parts of it, but they're not. Now, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was saved. And I want you to look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even in this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers, for in Christ have I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, I've always get a little, when you just, you know, quote the verse, it's one thing. But when you read about what Paul says before that, it's a little humorous. It'd be like a motivational speaker getting up and saying, listen, I've tried several things in life and I failed at them. I started a business and I failed. I got into multi-level marketing and I failed. And today, I'm standing here before you broke, don't have any money, hated of most people, be ye followers of me. You're not going to go to a seminar like that. If you go to one of these motivational seminars, they're going to tell you about positive thinking and how that they've made this million and how other people have made it, and on it goes. Now come and do what I've done and you can do the same. Paul said, being defamed, we entreat, we're made as the filth of the world and as the offscouring of all things unto this day, be ye followers of me. Well, who want to follow somebody like that? Well, Paul said, the reason being, you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Why did Paul say that? Because when he went to Corinth, he preached unto them the gospel of Christ. He records that in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. It's recorded on this banner up here behind me. And he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we're to follow the Apostle Paul, not in his earthly ministry necessarily, not in the earthly things that he did. How do I know that? Well, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I tell you what, let's back up to chapter 10, verse 32. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now that additional statement there is of great value, because Paul did not follow Christ in his earthly ministry. What did Paul follow? He received the revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what he followed. What are we to follow? We're to follow the revelation given to us through the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5:1, Paul says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read a little thing here to you about a church that was looking for a pastor. Most of you probably heard this before, but I think it speaks to what we're talking about as far as Paul was concerned. It seems there was a church that was looking for a pastor, and they'd gone through several applicants and had rejected them all for some minor fault, and it was kind of time for a bit of soul searching on the part of the committee, so they had a man come in. And this is what the man, the preacher, said to him. "Gentlemen, understanding your pulpit is vacant, I should like to apply for the position. I have many qualifications. I've been a preacher with much success, and also have had some success as a writer. Some say I'm a good organizer. I've been a leader most places I've been. I'm over 50 years of age and have never preached in one place for more than 3 years. In some places I have left town after my work caused riots and disturbances. I must admit I have been in jail 3 or 4 times, but not because of any real wrongdoing. My health is not too good, though I still accomplish a great deal. The churches I have preached in have been small, though located in some large cities. I've gotten along well with religious leaders in the towns I've not gotten along well with religious leaders in the towns where I've preached. In fact, some have threatened me and even attacked me physically. I was not too good at keeping records. I've even forgotten, in many instances, whom I baptized. However, if you can use me, I promise to do my best for you." The board members turned to one another and said, "Well, what do you think? Shall we call him?" The good church folks were appalled. "Consider a sickly, troublemaking, absent-minded ex-jailbird? Was the board member crazy? Who signed the application? Who had such colossal nerve?" The board member eyed them, and keenly before he replied, he said, "It's signed, the Apostle Paul." You see, Paul wouldn't qualify for most pastors today. And as a matter of fact, in many people's minds, he doesn't even qualify as an apostle. And if you've been studying 2 Corinthians with us on Sunday night, you will see that that is a repeated theme. And let me just insert this. You know, for years, I've always said that Romans was the last book that Paul wrote during the Acts period. And then I heard some people say that it was perhaps 2 Corinthians. And I don't know which one was. But I know this, that as I have studied and taught 2 Corinthians, it would make sense to me in the sense that almost the entire book, in almost every chapter, Paul is defending his apostleship against accusations that he's not a real apostle. And I want to tell you something. If you listen, if you read, you will find that there are more attacks on the apostleship of the Apostle Paul than any other writer in your Bible. I've got a whole list that Brother Trey Searcy sent me. I should have brought it and read some of them to you, of famous men who have, in effect, said that Paul was a false apostle. He was not, his writing should be removed from the Bible, and on it goes. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now, there's a lot of things that people follow after. People follow after the earthly teachings of Christ. Some people follow after the dictates of their flesh. You know, if it feels good, do it, or whatever. And that's why the religious world out there that entertains people is so popular today. They've got the bands and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there wouldn't be anything wrong with most of that if the truth was taught. But most of that stuff is simply to attract the crowds and entertain the people and give them something to satisfy the flesh. Brother Brian was talking about that at the conference last weekend, how people would go into a church such as this, sit down and listen for a while and say, that must be that is the deadest church I've ever been in. I mean, all they do is sing a couple of songs, and they don't have a band, and they don't have, you know, bright lights, all this kind of stuff, and all they do is make you flip in your Bible and make you wear your Bible out, and all they want to talk about is teaching about, and on it goes. And I guess what we would have to say is, guilty as charged. But you see, folks, it's not about the flesh. Some people follow the flesh. Some people follow after their friends. It's amazing how people will befriend people. You young people need to be diligent about the people that you befriend and your peers, because it's very easy for some people to be led instead of being a leader. And that's why it's important how you choose your friends. And it's also that way as an adult. Some people follow after their family because their families always believe something. They believe it. I have seen that over the years, how many people there are who in effect have said, well, if what you're teaching is right, then my mama and daddy was wrong and my grandparents were wrong, and they won't dare admit that. Well, come on, you want to be wrong just because your family was wrong? You want to reject the truth just because they didn't see it? And then, you know, that old saying of follow your conscience. Don't ever follow your conscience. You know what the Bible says about your conscience? He says the conscience is defiled. Conscience is not something we would follow. And then people follow traditions. Boy, it has a lot of people. You ask people, well, why does your church do this? Well, because they always have. Had a fellow visit here last Sunday night. Afterwards, he was concerned that I would teach a Bible study back there, stand on the floor, and I didn't have an altar in front of me. And he said, I believe in the old traditions. And I said, well, all those old traditions might be fine, but I said, the Bible says that you're not to teach for tradition. The doctrine is doctrine. I said, show me in the Bible anything about an altar, particularly in the dispensation of grace. He said, well, I'm a Bible scholar. I wanted to say, well, I am not impressed. But I was nice, and I said, well, that's good. He said, I'm studying to be a preacher. I said, what kind? Well, like my granddaddy was. He never would tell me what denomination was. I don't know what the whole deal was, folks. He came in, sat there and listened to the Bible study, and then proceeded to tell me what I did wrong back there. But the point in all that is this. The Bible says, Paul said, be ye followers of me. And he said, mark them which follow me. Follow them, because there are those who don't. Now, in Paul's epistles, there's a lot of admonition about following. And I want to just cover about four things in the last few minutes that we have here. First, I want you to look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Every word of this Bible is the Word of God. That means they are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. For a person to say, I believe in following the teachings of Jesus rather than the teachings of Paul, is beyond ridiculous. Why? Notice what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Well, do you remember that Paul told Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men? The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you and I today are the words that you find in Romans through Philemon. And those are one of the series that I taught on TV of those 36 messages. 12 of those messages, the title for the whole series was The Present Day Teachings of Christ. And those present day teachings of Christ came through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And so we are to follow those teachings. Are there teachings in the Bible that we can glean from? Absolutely. All the way back in the Old Testament, many principles. But you have to separate principles from doctrine. And the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is found in Paul's epistles, just like we pointed out when we read those verses back there in Matthew chapter 6 and 7. When Jesus said, take no thought for your life what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. And Paul said, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Those verses just don't jive, folks. There are differences. When Jesus said, if you forgive men your trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive yours. And Paul said, he's already forgiven you all trespasses. That's not the same. Things that are different are not the same. Then we are to follow the Apostle Paul. Now that means that the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is in Paul's epistles. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul tells us some things that we're to follow. And he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Now notice, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Then we are to follow the instructions of Paul. Follow that which is good. Then what does that mean? We don't follow that which is bad. He said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Don't follow evil, but among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Follow that which is good. Look back in Romans chapter 14. In Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 13. Wonderful passage here. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. That's a good statement, isn't it? Everybody's about judging one another. I can't tell you when I wasn't preaching how many times I heard a message and I would think, boy, so-and-so really should have heard this. Boy, I wish my friend could have heard that. Boy, he would have really got him. It's like the fellow, you know, that lived up in the mountains there and went to a little church. And every Sunday when the preacher would leave, he'd stand back there at the door and he said, preacher, you really got them told today. The preacher always thought, got them told? And so one Sunday morning it snowed real hard and the preacher and this man was the only two that made it to church. And so that morning, the preacher said, I got him now. And so he just preached on everything he knew that fellow was doing wrong. And he just went for about 45 minutes to an hour and preached as hard as he could. And when he got done, he walked back there and that fellow looked at him and he said, preacher, I just want to tell you, if they'd have been here today, you'd have really got them told. Well, isn't that the way we look at it sometimes? Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. And Paul's talking about things that could be eaten and not eaten, by the way, in the context. I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If you got people that don't want to eat meat, want to be vegetarians, don't judge them for that. Just feel sorry for them. If you believe that's wrong to, you got people that eat meat and you think they shouldn't do that or whatever it is, don't judge them for it. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Reason, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Now I want to tell you something. Now that rule right there is a great rule to govern life, and it's also a great rule to govern your Facebook post. I'm serious. You know, when I got on Facebook and I saw something on there I disagreed with, I felt like it was my God-called duty to respond to that and set people straight. I got over that. I got over that real fast. Somebody wrote me not long ago and they said, go on the such and such's wall and look at what they posted. You need to respond to that. I wrote them back and I said, why? They said, because I don't know enough Bible to tell them what they need to know. So I went and read it. You know what I did? I didn't respond. I wrote back and told that person, I said, just let it go. I know this individual, their mind's made up, they're not going to change. Why go through all of it? You see, sometimes it's a good idea to follow what the Scripture says. Follow after the things which make for peace in the family, where you work, in the body of Christ. Follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify or build up another. You see, so much of what we do is to tear down, and edify is to build up. Like this building is called an edifice. It's a building. It's a building up process. Well, how much of your life is spent following after things that make for peace and building people up rather than tearing them down? Well, that's what the Bible says. And by the way, the apostle that wrote that is our apostle, and he said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Follow that which makes for peace. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul has been dealing in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 with spiritual gifts and the problems they were causing there at the Corinth church. And in chapter 14:1, he says, follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Why follow after charity? Because of what Paul said about charity back in chapter 13. He said in verse 8, charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You see, charity is a little different than love in the Bible. Most every translation takes this and makes that word charity love, but charity has to do with giving. Things that make for peace, he said. Follow after the things which make for peace. Follow charity. And then in 1 Timothy 6, where we were reading a moment ago, go back over there again. 1 Timothy 6:11, further down, he says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Follow, he says, after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You see, for those that think that you should never teach about how we ought to live, they're sadly mistaken, because Paul says a lot about that, and it all has to do with our relationship one with another. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, the Bible in the Old Testament, it has a lot to say about our path. And when you follow something, you're following in the path. There's an old poem. You ought to look it up on the internet if you have that, and it's called The Cow Path. I meant to print it off so I could read it, but it's about how this cow walked through the woods, and as he curved and curved and curved, he created a path. And then later years, it was widened and made into a trail for a wagon or a buggy. And people never question why it's not a straight road. If you've ever driven in Tennessee, you've probably questioned that. I used to get off the back road, off the interstates a lot when I was traveling. And I, for the life of me, I've wondered why in the world didn't they just... I mean, you'd be out in the country, you could see for miles, and the road is going like this, and turning and twisting. And I mean, you look at a Tennessee road map and it looks like bloodshot eyes. It's just a mass of roads. Well, you know why it was made that way? Because somebody built a house here, and then somebody built one over here, and they run that path over there, and they come back. I've been by some old places up in East Tennessee there, and the houses are like 6 feet from the road. But they never straighten the road out. People follow that. Well, people follow those cow paths today because that's just what's always been there. The Bible says in Psalms 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is full of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." And here's a wonderful one. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light under my path." Following our apostle, following the Lord. Be therefore followers of God. And of course, that always starts with following the truth of the gospel and receiving the truth of the gospel and accepting the fact that Christ died for our sins. Don't follow tradition. Don't follow man-made ordinances and believe that you got to be baptized or join the church or walk the aisle. Trust Jesus Christ. Follow the instructions for salvation for you and I today that were given us through the Apostle Paul. And in doing so, your life will be changed and you'll be able to follow Him and do the things that God desires for us in this daily life. All right, would you stand with me?